Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna do a ditto of what Ron just did. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And you better believe it, right, Steve? As many of you well know, I usually get up here and explain scriptures in depth, going verse by verse through a book. Today is a little different. I'm sharing with you a lot of scriptures. But before I get into that, I need to remember, by the way, the Easter egg hunt that's taking place afterwards. Meet on the first floor of the fellowship hall. Do not go upstairs until the nice lady over here, Linda, says it's time. Needed to get that straight. Okay, now let's get back into this. This morning, I am essentially sharing scripture with you with minimal explanation to the best of my ability. And so I hope you hang with me. We're all reading scripture together. I believe there is power in that. Before we get started on the subject of resurrection, and in fact, all of creation, I want to point out that the central figure of all of history is Jesus Christ. We have before Christ on the calendar, and we have Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, afterwards. At the right time in the center of human history is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, prophesied, foretold numerous times. Picking out the scriptures to illuminate to you the resurrection and essentially what it's about was tough. It was tough. What to leave in and what to leave out, as an old Bob Seger song has to say. So, the central figure in all of this is God the Son. Minimal explanation, just largely reading scripture. I hope you get it. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can believe that, you can believe that God has the power to raise his Son from the dead. John, speaking, echoing Genesis 1:1, said, "In the beginning was the Word." By the way, I'm using two different translations this morning, and I've chosen these translations largely in part this morning because they capitalize the personal pronouns of deity. When you see a word that is capitalized in the middle of a sentence, it is the personal pronoun of God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. I hope you understand that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, for those of you who may or may not know, is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Though he had not acquired that name yet until he came to earth, he was the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. I hope you understand who we're talking about here. We are talking about the eternal Son of God, the second person of the divine Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we jump to verse 14. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. It says that, the English says, took up residence among us. In the original language, it's like a picture of a tent, a temporary dwelling. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is probably an allusion to the transfiguration noted in three of the gospel accounts. Jesus' resurrection demonstrated his victory over death. Jesus' resurrection demonstrated his victory over death. Now we read just a part of the resurrection account. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. Those are angels, folks, in case you didn't know that. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. I just love that. "He is not here, but he has been resurrected. He is risen. He is risen." And the angel continues to speak. "Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee," and the yellow letters are a quote of Jesus speaking, saying, "The Son of Man," that is a messianic title from the Old Testament, speaking of himself in the third person, "The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day." The question mark is because the angel is asking, do you remember him saying that? And they remembered his words, Christ's words. Jesus' resurrection validated and vindicated him as righteous and indicated his divine identity. "But he answered them," Jesus speaking in the yellow here, "but he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." Again, Jesus is acting in the role of a prophet here. He is foretelling what is going to happen. In fact, Scripture, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, there are several places in the Old Testament foretold hundreds of years in advance details of the story, proof, evidence that God had this planned out long, long, long before it ever happened. So the sign of Jonah is explained here. This is Paul preaching a sermon in Acts. "And we ourselves proclaim to you the good news," that's the gospel, folks, "the good news of the promise that was made to our ancestors." I spoke of the Old Testament prophecies, the promise of the coming Messiah that was made to our ancestors. "God has fulfilled this for us, their children," children of the ancestors he spoke of previously. "How? By raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm." These small cap letters are quotes from the Old Testament, Psalm 2, actually, the first of the messianic psalms. "You are my son. Today I have become your father." "Since he raised him," he, the Father, raised him, the Son, from the dead, never to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, "I will grant you the faithful covenant blessings made to David." Therefore, he also says in another passage, "You will not allow the Holy One to see decay." He was raised on the third day. It was believed and is largely true that the significant decay of the human body starts on the fourth day. So you will not allow your Holy One to see decay. Holy One, the Anointed One, the Messiah. For David, after serving his own generation in God's plan, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and decayed. Paul is explaining that in his sermon so that no one mistakes that David was speaking of himself. He was not. David was speaking of the foretold Messiah that was going to be coming in his bloodline generations after him. So Paul goes on, "But the one," all capitalized, remember, "the one God raised up did not decay." This is part of prophecy. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. And everyone who believes in him is justified from everything that you could not be justified from through the law of Moses. You see, Paul is alluding to here is we are unable to keep the law. We are unable to live perfectly. Even a single sin in your life is enough so that you cannot ever enter heaven. That sin or that multitude of sins must be paid for. And Jesus took that sin on the cross, the righteous wrath of God against all sin, because God, it says, cannot even look upon sin. So that sin has to be paid for. And so there was a collaboration, if you will, in eternity past, where God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all decided that Jesus voluntarily would pay the price. He would take the wrath of God upon him to pay for our sins so that we could once again be restored, regenerated, born again unto the Lord, and to be able to enjoy an eternity with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he began to teach them, this is speaking of Jesus, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and rise 3 days. Rise after 3 days. You with me? I think that's supposed to be colored to show you Jesus is speaking. Paul goes in writing in Romans and does some explanation. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, who has been declared to be the powerful Son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit. In other words, the resurrection is witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the powerful, eternal Son of God. It is testimony to that fact. A dead man got up and walked. You understand how important that is? I think you do. This led on to Christ's ascension and his enthronement on the right hand of God in heaven. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. Just before that, he gave his great commission, go into all the world, making disciples of all men and all nations, I'm paraphrasing, teaching them. It's in Matthew 28, the tail end of it. You can check it out yourself, teaching them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then this happened. And he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. Can you imagine yourself in that scene? Watching Jesus rise into the heavens? And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, then behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And then they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? Seems like a funny question, doesn't it? I just saw my Lord and my Savior rise into the sky. What else should I be doing? Right? But the angels say, Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have watched him go into the heaven. This is an angel giving biblical prophecy of the return of Christ. He's coming back, folks. Are you ready? Are you ready for his return? In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter is giving a sermon on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit has come down and caused about 120 different believers to begin speaking in languages that they would have no other way of speaking except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jews from many nations around who had been born in those nations had been dispersed there generations before, who were raised in languages that they did not know. They had come to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, to celebrate the Passover. They had come in to celebrate numerous, actually, holy days of that around that season. And when they came in, Peter is preaching, or right before Peter preaches, they hear these Galileans largely speaking their native language as though they were native speakers. They were all praising and speaking the word of God in multiple languages listed in Scripture. And so Peter preaches, God has resurrected this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this, he and the 120 other folks with him. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Father declared to the Lord Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The final enemy is death. The final enemy is death. That's what the resurrection is about. He is quoting Psalm 110, verse 1 here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. Lord, another word for Lord is master. He's in charge. We have been bought with a great price. We were purchased by God from slavery to sin to become his slaves. Now, mind you, before you balk at that, what do you mean being slaves? We are by nature servants. We are by nature slaves to either darkness or light. There is no other option. You will either serve your sinful, selfish desires or you will serve God. You cannot do both. But you will serve someone or something. And so we are purchased by the most benevolent master and Lord and Messiah we could possibly imagine. In fact, he is more than we can imagine. Paul, writing in Philippians, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. How high and exalted is that? I can't give you a measurement. Is it at 30,000 feet like jet planes? I suspect it's much, much higher than you and I can even understand. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, to the glory of God the Father. And it was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. The crucifixion, some 700, I think, years in advance, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah saying this, but the Lord desired to crush him, causing him, again capitalized, grief. If he renders himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, for he will bear their wrongdoings. Do I need to explain that? I hope I don't, but let me just make sure you know. Jesus paid it all. He paid the whole price for our sins. And as a result, like the song says, Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. All to him we owe. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was counted with the wrongdoers. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the wrongdoers. Do you understand? God has made a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus' resurrection guarantees the believer's present forgiveness and justification. In Romans, he who was delivered over because of our wrongdoings was raised because of our justification. It's not exactly 100% correct, but justification, justified. I've heard it said, it's just as if I, you know, the little play on words, what's justified? Just as if I'd never sinned. We are declared righteous in Christ. We are imputed his righteousness. He took his sin upon us and nailed it to the cross, and he gave in exchange for us, transferred to us, his righteousness. Like a coat, we are clothed in his righteousness. Jesus' resurrection is the basis of resurrection life in Christ for the believer here and now. What in the world is the resurrection life, you ask? Well, let's read what the scripture says about it. In John, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He's asking this question of Martha. Now I ask this question of you. Do you believe this? In Romans 6, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Baptism does not save you, but baptism is a symbolic rite that we do here, which is symbolic of your being buried and brought back to life. It's symbolic of the resurrection. And we here at Shiloh believe in believer's baptism because there's a lot of scriptural evidence. In fact, the word baptizo simply means to immerse. We didn't really even translate the word. We kind of just made it our own, baptized. Okay? So, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. It's a new life, folks. It's a new beginning. And that can be today. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Amen. For the death that he died to sin once for all time. But the life that he lives to God. And now here comes the part for us. So you too, me, all of us who are in Christ, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. In other words, repentance. Turn from sin. Like those mob movies that I used to watch years ago, where the Italian guys would say to each other, you're dead to me. You're dead. I'm not talking to you. I'm not looking at you. I have nothing to do with you forever. That's what we're supposed to do with our sin, to turn from it. Dead to sin, but alive to God, turning to God in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, Paul writes, and you were dead in your offenses and sins, dead, in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. By the way, that's not a good spirit. That's a spirit of disobedience and rebellion against God. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh. Can I get an amen on that? Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as all the rest were. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, another part of scripture says, even while we were yet his enemies, made us alive together with Christ. It is by his grace we are saved. Amen. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We're not physically there yet, but we are positionally there. We are positionally now heavenly citizens. Do you understand? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Master, your Savior, if you've trusted in him for your eternal soul, you are now a heavenly citizen. That's essentially what it is saying here. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What does it say after that? Which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has laid out a path of good works for those of us who are in Christ. All we need to do is walk in him, walk in Christ, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Word, and it's already in our path. Romans, and this is where we're wrapping up, folks. For those of you who have not yet made this decision, this is where the rubber meets the road, okay? I want you to know before I read this to you that there are literally dozens and dozens of gospel tracts out there in the hallway, on the table, all over the place out there. Find one, take one of each if you like. Take two of each if you like, if you want to share it with someone. The gospel message is in this. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. That's the story, folks. That is the Easter story. And now I close with a quick prayer and we get on with it. I hope you understand. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to any of us. If you have that confession of salvation you want to make, please feel free to talk to any of us, Pastor Jim, Pastor Ron, myself, any number of different people here. Please, let's close. Heavenly Father, you are genuinely worthy to be praised. We come to you in the name of our Lord and Master and Savior, Jesus Christ, your eternal Son, who came and spent 30 or so years here on earth to lead the way, to walk in absolute sinlessness, which none of us could do, so that he could die as the spotless Lamb of God on the cross, voluntarily, and taking your righteous, holy wrath against sin and giving a way, the only way unto you, Father. I ask, Father, that you help us all to walk in this newness of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.